The gospel verse is from John 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy the bread for these people to eat?" And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, on Monday, I came back with a group who had been in Detroit at the National Youth Gathering, which happens every 3 years, and we had taken 18 of our young people from this church and 3 chaperones, and we had been along with about 30,000 other people in Detroit, and we had a wonderful time, a wonderful program talking about who God is, and lots of games, and lots of service, so it was a wonderful time. And we'll be telling you more about it because in a few weeks we'll have some of our young people who went share what that experience was like. But I did want to reflect with you a little bit about one of the themes that was shared at this youth gathering. The theme was rise up overall. It was about rising up in our faith and being the people who God calls us to be. And there were 3 day themes for each day. So each one started with the word proclaim. One was proclaim story, and that was all about sharing the story of Jesus Christ and being able to share it with other people. Another one was proclaim community, and that was all about the importance of being connected to Christian community as we live our faith in this world. And then the third one was proclaim justice. And it was interesting, each day that we had a theme, we would kind of talk about it, and there would be different lessons about it, and we just try to figure out what it's about. And the kids very easily understood what proclaim story was. They understood, you know, the idea of the gospel and that we're supposed to, you know it and share it. They understood very easily the idea that Christian community is important. But when we came to the theme of justice, we were having a devotion, and I was talking about, you know, how important justice is, and then one of our chaperones asked, "Do you guys know what we're talking about when we say justice?" And some of the kids said, "No, we don't really know." And I asked them, "Well, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think justice?" And one of the kids correctly said, based on this culture, he correctly said, "Payback," right? Getting even. Justice is about revenge when something goes bad. Well, it's interesting because even though this was kind of the mindset most of us were coming from with justice, right? Payback, retribution. At the gathering, the speakers weren't really talking about payback when they were talking about justice. When the speakers were talking about justice, they were talking about things like the problem that there's many people in the world who don't have enough food to eat. And one of the speakers pointed out that in the world, there's actually enough food to feed people, to feed everyone in the world, and then there would be 50% left over, right? So there's 1.5 times more food than we need, and so the problem is more that we don't share it than that there isn't enough. Other speakers talked about the problems with racism or poverty, and so they talked about different things, but they weren't really talking about retribution. The thing about it is, with justice, in our country, we have really misunderstood what the Bible is talking about when it uses the word justice. So what is justice in the Bible? Well, here's what it is. In the Bible, when Scripture is talking about justice, it's primarily talking about lifting people out of suffering through acts of compassion and mercy, right? Once again, lifting people out of suffering through acts of compassion and mercy. So some examples of what it might be talking about are feeding the hungry, working for peace, caring for the sick, welcoming the outcast in, right? These are the kinds of things that the Bible usually means when it's talking about justice. But in our society, when we're understanding justice, we've almost completely redefined it as a word for crime and punishment and war, right? When a terrorist attack happens, what do the authorities say? They say, we are going to bring those who are responsible to justice. When we're punishing criminals, we're incarcerating them or executing them, we say that these are acts of the justice system because, again, for us, justice is about punishing evil. But here's the thing. Things like prisons and wars aren't really signs that this world is really just. Really, they're signs that there's a lot of injustice in the world. I'm not saying that prisons aren't necessary, because they are. I mean, there are dangerous people out there who probably need to be in prison. I'm not saying that defending our country isn't necessary, because there are also people who are maybe trying to hurt us. But I am saying that working for justice is really more about preventing evil than it is about just punishing it after it happens. So real justice would be when people have healthy enough family backgrounds that they don't choose to become criminals in the first place, and so you don't have to put them in jail. Real justice is when we find ways to promote peace and work towards it rather than having to defend ourselves through war and violence. Real justice is when we don't have children in our own communities that can't focus in school, that don't succeed, that don't get good jobs because they're just hungry and it's hard to focus and listen and learn when people are hungry. In other words, God's justice tries to prevent evil before it happens through compassion rather than just trying to punish it after it happens. Well, in today's gospel story, Jesus is preaching, as he liked to do, right? He's preaching to the crowds. He's sharing the good news. And I'm sure Jesus is speaking to people's souls as he's doing this, right? I mean, we know that Jesus was an amazing preacher. He was teaching them about the good news and about the kingdom of God. And I'm sure people were being spiritually fed through this sermon. But there comes to be this more immediate problem. The crowds, in their desperation to hear Jesus, have followed him into the desert where there's no food or drink, and they've been so kind of foolhardy to hear them that pretty much everybody has forgotten to bring food. And so this is a desert. There's no towns close by to get food. There's no McDonald's just there where you can catch a burger. There's no food for everybody, and in the desert, this can be a dangerous thing. And what's interesting is that despite Jesus being a savior who does want to care for people's souls, who does want to speak to people spiritually, Jesus also cares for their physical needs. Jesus cares that people are hungry and that this is dangerous. And so he finds a child who has a few loaves and a few fish, and he multiplies them so that there's enough for everybody, not just to eat a little bit, but to eat a feast of fish and bread. And it says there was still some left over. And so we find a Jesus in this passage where he cares that people aren't just being spiritually fed, but he cares that everyone that he's encountering has the things that they need, the basic things that they need to survive. Well, in today's world, there are a lot of suffering people who are not getting their basic needs met. I was recently talking to one of the coordinators for a program in our own communities called Backpacks for Kids. We've kind of contributed to this program a couple times. It's a program that tries to help kids in schools who live in poorer families that may not have enough food. A lot of them, the way they're eating a lot of times is that they get most of their calories while they're at school lunches, because their families don't have a lot of money to pay for food when they're out of school. And so the problem becomes during the weekends when there's not school lunches, some of these kids can go hungry. And so there's this program called Backpacks for Kids, which gives the kids a bunch of food and they put it in their backpacks and they load up on Friday, and then they have food for the weekend for themselves and their families. Well, the shocking thing, as I was talking to the coordinator of this program, is that every year they've done it, this program has grown and grown and grown because poverty and hunger in our community is growing and growing and growing. I mean, it started out as a few dozen kids receiving care. At this point, we're up to several hundred. They only do it every 2 weeks at most because they simply don't have enough donations and enough support to help all the kids who are in need. I mean, so that's a justice problem in our community. We also live in a country that have jails that are overflowing where we can't build them fast enough to keep up with incarceration rates. And again, not to say we don't need to put people in jail who have done violent crimes or something like that, but why is it that there are so many people being incarcerated in the first place? What's wrong with our communities when there's this many people turning to crime? If you've watched TV the last few weeks, we also know that hatred has been in the air. We look at recent shootings that have been fed by hatred, whether it's racist hatred, where someone walks into a black church and shoots people because of the color of their skin, or religious hatred, like happened on an army base where someone has fanatical religious beliefs and that causes them to commit a hate crime. And then today, because of all the conflicts in places like the Middle East, there's actually more refugees today than there have been since any time since World War II, right? World War II, where pretty much Europe was destroyed, where tens of millions of people died, there's about as many refugees today as there were then. And so all of these realities, as overwhelming as they are, they're symptoms of injustice. They're signals to followers of Jesus that there's work to be done, right? We could look at all the injustice and just say, that's too bad. Or we could do what Jesus does, and he sees it, and he responds in love. And that's what we need to understand. If we want to follow Jesus, then our calling is to work for justice in these areas. Not that any of us can solve them by ourselves, but that we do the little bit that we can. You know, some people might challenge, as we talk about doing justice, that helping the vulnerable is going to cause us to lose sight of what's more important in the faith, which is our central job of spreading the good news, right? Some people might ask, isn't our job as Christians mainly a message, sharing the gospel? Well, it is true that spreading the gospel is maybe our most important activity, but that's exactly why working for justice is so important, right? So that people will believe our message. If hungry people are hungry and we're saying, God loves you, but we're not helping them with food, they're probably not going to believe us that God loves them. So if we want all people to believe in the gospel, then we have to work for justice for all people. One of the really neat things about our youth gathering this past week was that we went to a city that's really not doing very well the last few decades economically, and that's actually intentional. When they choose where to do the youth gatherings, they intentionally do them in communities that are struggling. They don't do them in Vegas or Los Angeles or Hollywood or New York City. They send us to communities that are struggling because they want this event to be a help, an economic boost for people who aren't doing as well economically. And what was so neat is as we walked around the city, we kept on encountering people who would ask us where we're from, and we tell them we're from this big Lutheran group, and we tell them why we're there. And again, without any prompting, these people would say, thank you so much for coming to our city. It means so much for us. I mean, some people were saying that they hadn't had this much positive energy in their city as long as they could remember. And so there was this sense as we came and we worshiped there and as we served there and as we shared the love of God there, that joy and compassion and service and love was multiplying. Well, as you ponder today's miracle story, remember that the miracle that this world most needs is not multiplying food, because there's already enough food for everybody. What we really need is a multiplication of compassion and mercy. What the church needs to do is multiply people who are willing to work towards God's definition of justice, of lifting people out of suffering. And in this way, each of us can be miracle workers as we multiply love, as we multiply mercy, and as we multiply compassion in this world. Amen.